Just a few thoughts about the fact today is Christmas Day. We know that this is a day on which people talk about the birth of Christ. There are some people who say, bah humbug. I was reading yesterday and today about a certain minister in a certain congregational church somewhere in the United Kingdom, I'm not going to tell you where, who appears to have some members, or some attenders I think they are at the moment, who are rather rigid in their thinking, and they gave him a booklet. They said, you must read this, and rather than misquote, let me see if I can tell you exactly what it is. It's a booklet entitled Festal Days and the Law of God. And the minister says, I got past this a few weeks back with an urgent note requesting that I read it, be convinced of its unanswerable case, and repent. He read it and he was not in the slightest bit convinced. And there's another minister who is having problems with people who say we should not observe any special days at all, except Sundays. What do you do with people like that? I think everybody knows my view that Christmas Day is not the day Jesus was born. Well, it might be, but the Bible doesn't tell us. We have very little about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why do we pick on this particular day rather than any other day? And why not rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at any time of the year? But I'm a small minority, and also it is often, not always, but often an opportunity to preach the gospel to unbelievers. And there are some places this morning that will be jam-packed to the gills because it's Christmas Day. Sadly, what they actually hear, apart from singing the carols and reading the scriptures, is probably not worth listening to. Very sad state of affairs when there are professing churches which do not believe, let alone preach the gospel. But it is an opportunity for preaching the gospel when there are unbelievers present. Anyone who claims to be a preacher of the word of God would take any opportunity at all to communicate the gospel. And that is more important than whether today is actually the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. So having put that aside, we are remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to consider its significance. So many places it will be all sentimental and, oh, look at this lovely little gurgling baby lying in a manger. And isn't it so nice? And it doesn't get beyond that. And you have lovely Christmassy scenes with the snow falling and the stars shining above the stable and the three kings and the shepherds who have managed to bring a few of their flock of sheep with them. And, oh, doesn't it look twee? Isn't it so nice? But it fails to understand completely the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ was born. We have to remember who he is. This is God coming into the world as a man. Why on earth would God choose to become a man? And this leads to the amazing thought when you read the first few verses of Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ upholds the universe by his word of power. Now just let that sink in for a moment. When the Lord Jesus was born, he was still God. He might have been a tiny baby, dependent upon his mother, to be moved around from place to place, to be fed, and all the other things as he grew to manhood. But he was restricted and he was limited, although he was God. And yet, Hebrews tells us, even then, he upheld the universe by his word of power. Why do we continue to exist at any given moment? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ upholds the universe by his word of power. Even when he was a baby. And that is mind-blowing. Perhaps we shouldn't think about it too much, because we might be so obsessed by it as we try and work out how that could be. Like trying to consider, how can God be one, but God is three persons at the same time? And you try and get your head round it. And if you have any sense, you say, I cannot rationalize this, but it is God we are talking about, who is infinite and eternal, and our minds are finite and limited by time. How on earth can we ever comprehend the infinite and eternal God? People have tried. People have written books. People have written many books, and they have not even begun to scrape the surface of the truth about God and who he is. Sometimes it is better and it is easier to just see what the Bible says and to accept what the Bible says. I may not understand all its complexities, but if that's what God says about himself, then that is true. And when you think that the Lord Jesus upholds the universe by his word of power, that means he continues to sustain our lives. Why? We read from Genesis chapter 3 about the curse that God placed upon the serpent, upon Eve, upon Adam and the world. Thorns and thistles. It becomes hard work getting the food that we need. For a woman, pain in childbirth. Your desire shall be for your husband. He shall rule over you. These things were not part of the original creation, but they are part of the cursed world in which we live. And Adam is told that he's going to die. He's going to die because of his sin. That sin he has communicated to every single one of us, down through the centuries, down through the millennia. We are sinners because we have inherited Adam's nature, his fallen nature. Why does God bother with us at all? Why doesn't God just wipe us off the face of the earth? As of course he did with everyone, bar eight, at the time of the flood. Why did God bother with us at all? But God made a promise, because even in giving the curse upon the woman, he also gave a promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, let's talk about the serpent, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He's talking, when referring to the offspring of Eve, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. Why would God come into the world in spite of sin? We are sinners, we disobey God, we rebel against him, and yet still the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. It was a long time before he came, but when the fullness of time had come, the time that God had set, the time that God had appointed, the time that God knew was the right time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God knew that when the right time was. God in his providence had arranged things in that way, so that when Jesus came, it was the right time. And it was to redeem us. This is something he did not have to do, but he chose to do because of grace. This was a free gift. This was not something we could earn. No one got together with other people and said, let's ask God to do this, because no one seeks after God. Together we have gone wrong. People by nature do not want to know God. So God had to take the initiative if anything positive for us was going to happen. And God, in love, in mercy, and in grace, sent the Lord Jesus Christ, not because we were worth it, but in spite of the fact we were not worth it. And that's grace, unmerited favor. We did not earn the right to receive the adoption as sons. We have to add these days, of course, and daughters. We did not earn the right. This was something graciously given. And Paul could write that Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save sinners. And Paul then adds, of whom I am chief. And if you know yourself to be a sinner, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, Paul knew nothing. I'm sure I'm a greater sinner than Paul was. I'm sure I'm the greatest sinner the world has ever known. If you know your heart, you know that to be true. And you know, therefore, that you need to be forgiven by God. But there's nothing you can do to earn that. It comes as a gift of grace from God. Which is why, when we read about the gift for the church at Jerusalem that Paul was organizing and writing to the Corinthians and urging them to set aside some money for this gift, some money that was not buying God's favor, it was not giving God to God in order that we might get more. There's some people that twist that portion of scripture to make it say what it doesn't. It doesn't say that at all. It says that we receive spiritual blessing, not necessarily material blessing. But he finishes off that chapter with these words: thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. When you think about the gift that God has given, and he's not talking about the gift of life, he's not talking about the gift of food and clothing and family and friends and all the other things. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to live amongst us and then to suffer and die on the cross to take away our sins. It's because of his shed blood that we can be forgiven. And while it's not mentioned much at Christmas, the death of Christ is inherently wrapped up in his birth, because if he hadn't been born, then he couldn't go as a man to the cross and be our substitute and die for our sins. And so Paul is saying, what we are giving for the church in Jerusalem is as nothing compared to what God has given. And because God has given so much, why shouldn't we be generous? Thanks be to God, he says, for his inexpressible gift. And inexpressible means words cannot be found to explain how great the gift of God is of the Lord Jesus Christ to us and for us. So whatever else we do today, and I hope we all have a happy day and don't eat too much, and careful when driving on the roads, because there might be some people who are in a hurry to get to places and not driving as carefully as they should, let us meditate upon the fact that God has brought us to this very moment, and he has sent the Lord Jesus Christ for us and for those who have received him and thus become the children of God. We have a great cause for rejoicing, for those of us who do not know the forgiveness of our sins. It is still a great cause of rejoicing, but there is a greater cause of rejoicing when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and receive the gift that God has given us in Christ, and we find the forgiveness of our sins because of God's grace, mercy, and loving kindness. So take those thoughts with you throughout the course of today.